Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, if you're here in person, this is your freeing moment. You may take your mask off for as long as I'm preaching, and that means I typically preach for 23 minutes, and this is the Sunday that you can say, preach longer. If I hear an amen about the 23rd minute, I'll say, all right, Lord, let's keep it going. There will be a day where we won't need these. There is a day that we do need to wear these. That's now. This is a day in which the word of the Lord speaks to us, and if we see the light that God is shining for us, we know our way forward because we're living in a day in which everyone, and I mean everyone, is trying to figure out where we're going to end up through all of this. Through the COVID-19 pandemic and the world and the economy, that our relationships coming together as we work our way through it and who will be on the other side of it, God will see us through. As the racial wounds have erupted with fresh power and agony in the life of our country and our world, we're wondering how do we move our way through this in order to be where we need to be, which is at a different place. The financial pressures and the pain and struggle within relationships in the midst of all that's occurring is real, but none of it is bigger than God. And the size of God helps to right size us. The size of God helps us to see everything else most clearly, and in the seeing of God's creation, we find our pathway forward. The psalmist also said, Lord, as you give us the sun by the day and the moon by the night, we know that we may follow in your path. Haven't we had a glorious moon? It's called the strawberry moon from the Algonquins. And the Algonquin Indians used to know they could always harvest their strawberries when the summer moon appeared. And the glory of the creation of the moon about 240,000 miles away, we feel the wonder of being able to see in the evening a beauty in the handiwork of God, which is a reminder that the ugliness and the challenge within our world can always find a resting place in the beautiful creation that God is wanting to make within you and me. Now we have a role to play. And that's part of the power of the book of Acts. It's also the reward from reading through the life of the early believers, and it is the challenge that makes us feel uncomfortable as we read through Acts, because we're players and not spectators. That God doesn't appoint some to be involved and not everyone to be involved. And that in the call of the following of Christ Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, God gives us the commission. God gives us a God empowerment to heal hurts and build hope in our fractured world. You may do that, and I am to do that. Together we can experience just by our eyes to see where there is a hurt, like Debbie in our children's ministry in VBS, that we may be empowered to respond in the provision of food. When we see someone in crying, we know that the tears are a sign that something has gone sideways in life, and that we may offer a caring moment, an extended heart, a prayer, bring the person into the life of God. So it was in the story of Acts 3 and opening up. After the moments of power of Pentecost Sunday that we celebrated last Sunday, and that the days went on and people were asking, what difference will the Pentecost mean for us? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the birthing, the life of the church, transformed men and women, boys and girls. What difference will it make? And Acts 3 opens with this telling line, one day. It was just another day. But in that one day, we saw in the life of the scripture what is also true for our lives if we will let it be. And that is that the power of yesterday from the grace of God can empower us in fresh ways today in order to make a tomorrow better than today is. And that is to be empowered to heal hurts and build hope. If you want to know what to do in the times which we're living, do that. Heal hurts. There's some that come right in your vision. Pay attention to them. And the power of Christ. And build hope. For with every problem, there is a promise. There's a path to take. It's what I call a faithscape. When we see a landscape, the skyscrapers, there's a faithscape. And our Mulberry campus is part of the faithscape. That recently when I was up in the children's roof of our Mulberry campus looking out across the city, again, had the view of how our steeple is seen from miles away, pointing unto the heavens like to look up above and that God is present who created the heavens and the universe. Now come back and look where we are, and that same power is with us. That's the power of the steeple. And then looking over the downtown area of saying, Lord, you've called us to serve in the second fastest growing city in America at this time, to see by the faithscape of what it is that God is showing us. So number one, what we can know is to live. We can live intentionally in God's presence. That your path directed by divine meaning. So the Acts 3 passage that opens up is that one day, Peter and John, these two apostles of Christ, they went to the temple as was a normal practice for them. But remember, Pentecost has happened. They proclaimed the Christ who was crucified by the very power brokers in the temple, resurrected to show God will not be defeated by death. And he'd be speaking to a group of people that caused the crucifixion of Jesus. And they went to the temple out of love. They went to the temple out of curiosity of how God would work through their life in that day. And they went during the time of prayer, the time of the afternoon prayer. They went to the time of that 3 o'clock prayer. And as they went to the temple, there was a man who hadn't walked since he was born. That from the day he was brought into the world, his parents had been told by the people of their neighborhood, the people in their town, either you sinned or he sinned, because people who can't walk are getting a punishment from their birth for somebody's sin. And Jesus made clear in his ministry, his teaching ministry, his healing ministry, that that's a lie. And God is all about speaking truth to lie. My life and your life, the life of our society, and that this man who was lame since he was born, could not use his legs to walk, once again was carried to the beautiful gate, the Nicanor gate, the entranceway from the court of the Gentiles to the court of women, and that very specific location and a temple layout that was designed by discrimination. There was a section of the temple that anybody could come to, then Gentiles, and then only women could come to, and then only the Israelite men could come to, and then finally only the priests could come to. It was all exclusion around a sense of importance. But you know those words when Jesus from the cross, when he was on the cross, all of that was torn down. The veil was brought down. And Peter and John, in the power of the Spirit, and the freshness of legs of faith, walked their legs into that location. And they did the miracle. They saw the lame man. And the lame man saw them. He was rather astonished that they were looking at him. And then what happened is a story of stories, a miracle of miracles, that on that one day became a someday, because he became a somebody, because the some Savior, Jesus Christ, reached in and healed him, because Peter and John realized they were somebody to do God's will in this world. Now, everybody's got hurt going on in our lives right now. Pressures and pains But just like we see the moon at night, we may see the beauty and the glory of God. And in the midst of the joy and the love and the laughter and the togetherness, we find strength to deal with the stuff that is unfolding. Last Sunday, my son Ryan and daughter-in-law Michelle and our two granddaughters were worshiping with us by live stream. Then they left and they went on a Sabbath walk. Sabbath walk to a nearby park, and there at that Sabbath walk, they were excited to get to a granddaughter Olivia's favorite place, which was a makeshift treehouse that kids could just go to and enjoy. But when they arrived at that scene, what they saw was racial slur. A slur that once had been accepted within our society, but should have never been accepted. But here it was, reappearing itself in a place of innocence in a tree of life. And it was aghast. So Michelle and family shared with us as family and with friends of what occurred. And so on that next day afternoon, after completing some of my pressing work at the office, I went home, put on my hiking clothes, called Michelle, tell me how to get to this location in the park. So she did. And when I arrived, what was I thought to be the turn to get to the treehouse, what I heard were voices of children and women, voices and activity. And when I arrived on the scene, there was a friend of Michelle's who had heard what occurred. And her daughter and two of her grandchildren, a neighbor friend, and two of the neighbor friend's children decided to do something about that and went to the location and started painting heart and peace symbols and love at that very location. See, it was in their power to do something, and they did it. A simple act with profound clarity that something needed to be done. And it was in their time. They had the resource of time. It was in their capability of paint and talent to step into it and make a difference. See, that's how the Lord changes a world. By our willingness to be able to live in the awareness that God can direct our paths. And I stood up there as a grandfather, as a father-in-law, and as a father. I realized I had a don't go anywhere in San Antonio without also being your pastor, of which I'm proud. But I went there is because of family matter. And I was astounded, and we were astounded, that my arrival and their work coincided in a way that really felt like a God moment. And the God moment that felt like a healing moment back into the life of my family and to others. See, the curiosity of life is the excitement that we've got skin in the game to change how we view the skin color of people, how we put skin in the game to help people to see everyone as equal, men and women, boys and girls, whatever background, whatever setting. That's who we are as a Trinity Baptist Church. And stepping into our very best to be at our best when our world needs us to be at our best. So we live in awareness that God can direct our paths. Well, then we see. We see what it was that Peter and John saw. That is, when they saw this man at the beautiful gate there at the temple on that someday, one day, when they arrived on the scene, there they were, and the man was just kind of reaching out his hands to get an offering, and with clarity, Peter said to him, "Look at us." See, the power comes in the look. By looking at us, then the man was dropping all of his other agendas. He was looking at the promise of a moment with people who were coming there in a promise of God to say, something is about to happen. Don't miss it. You've got to be engaged. It's a moment in time. And so he looked at them. That we may see each other in light of God, the awareness of God makes us aware of people. Just like in the moon by night, we could see more clearly when it's the full strawberry moon. And we know it's a sign to pick the strawberries that the Algonquins told us about. So it is that when something is in front of us, that God has given us a resource that we can do something about this, then to do it. So when Peter looked straight at him, as did John, they said, look at us. You know, it's a gift not to look beyond somebody, but to actually look at someone. Now, I know y'all are saying I've never looked better than now that I'm wearing my mask. And even when wearing masks, it can be difficult. You know, with our mobile devices, we'll pick it up and it has a face identity, but if you have a mask on, it's not recognizing face identity and you have to punch in your security code. With the eyes of faith, we can truly see people as God sees people, so we can see them most clearly. That helps us when we have witnesses. We see people who are doing this. For me as a little boy, one of those people was Charles Carrington. He was our elementary school teacher, former football coach there at Burney, Texas. He went to First Baptist Church, and so on Sunday mornings I would see him, and during Monday through Friday I'd see him at the school. Was able to go on a trip with him hunting with my friend Jake Beasley and his dad and up in Colorado and New Mexico, and when I was in fourth grade. And Mr. Carrington took care of his mother and who was unable to walk, and he was a single adult and living his life. And, you know, at the time, I didn't think about his influencing me. But as I look back on my life, as I have through these recent years, seeing how much of an influence people of steady values shaped by what happens in the worship, applying that in their daily life, are the witnesses of the salt and the light in our world. Now, even when Mr. Carrington called me out of class and gave me that and went to his office back in the day when a principal could give spankings, I did it one time. I knew that he was giving it to me because I needed it, and I wasn't going to do it again. I trust God if you feel spanked, corrected, that you receive it as a lesson in his presence, that he expects more out of you and more out of me in our life. Mr. Carrington knew I was better than what I did, and he cared enough to get a message across. But that message was carried time and again by words of encouragement and love, words of coaching me of how to live better. Be a coach. Have people look at you. Look at you because you're looking at them in such a way they know you want the best for their life. That's how Jesus looked at people, even the ones he corrected. And that's how Peter and John were looking at this man. They were seeing and showing him hope. Three is know. Know what you have to offer. Be an expression of God's hope to others. You know, we're looking at time differently because we're now coming out of sheltering in place and working remotely, or this blending of this hybrid approach of pulling it together. We're working at this here in our life of our worship by so many of you joining us by live stream and by Facebook Live, and grateful that you are and that here we are in person. And this is how we're reemerging as a culture, and we can do this and we are doing this. And the sense about it, what it means to take then our living and our seeing and then our knowing what our resources are. And that you've got enough time to do the right thing that God's calling you to do. You've got enough money to give what you ought to be given as God is calling you to do. And the power of how this comes to us is what Peter said to the man. He said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wow! That's who you have to give. That's who I have to give. When we give the power of the Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, we have given the way, the truth, and the life. We have given the clarity of God's hope to a sinful world. We have shown our way forward, that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that all of us need this grace that's being given. Everyone of every skin color needs this grace of every land. And a time of crisis can take us back to the basics and let us lean into the basics of what it is that God wants us to know. And you know that, right? You're listening in and listening in. You know that. God's with you right now. The presence of the Holy Spirit is with us right now. Just saying, lean into the witness of this resurrected Jesus, and I will work through you to make a way forward. Now, the bottom line that Acts reveals for us, this book of 28 chapters, so you figure it out, there are 13 Sundays in the summer. So if you read two chapters a week plus add two more sometime, you've read through the whole book of Acts one time. But I know you can do more than that. I know that you can read through the books of Acts and look for the sign of the Holy Spirit. See where the Spirit was worked that changed people and changed groups, changed situations by people coming to know that they knew that they could do something led by God. And that as we read through Acts as a people, letting this common text transform us, we'll be at that next place. You see, when we come to faith with Christ, what we know, come to faith in Christ, is that we are transformed. But that means that everything that was before us needs to go through the transformation as well. How we are financial life can be transformed, what we do with our finances. Carrying on adultery, carrying on an affair, you come to faith in Christ, it means you cut it out, you stop it. Lying, you stop it. You gossiping, you stop it. You just stop it. Because he gives you a power, a desire in our heart to stop it. And that power then makes it possible. If we have bigotry or prejudice, we come to faith in Christ. It's how we were taught. It's what we grew up in. It's what we, you know. And then God says, hey, stop it. You don't have to do that. I don't want you to do that. You can't do that, okay? Joe Barber is this new good friend of mine I shared with you last Sunday. So this week, we did two radio programs together. Joe's a really kind of gifted, talented guy, pastor at St. Luke Baptist Church, and some of the other men in our church are stepping in, and we're partnering and with this Wellness Wednesday and helping with the medical clinic and relationships which are there. Just because, you know, the congregation heard about the story of Joe, who spoke to our church last fall, and then saying, no, what is the next thing that we can do? And so Joe joined me and recorded two programs. You'll hear the first one next Sunday. And I said, Joe, where are some of the teaching places in your life? And he says, well, the kitchen table. I'd be at the kitchen table, and there'd be a grandparent and one of my parents. And I realized when I was at the kitchen table, I learned about what I meant to grow up. And that lesson of what I learned at the kitchen table is a part of my life now. So he knows what he knows because of what he learned. But Joe, like me and like you, has also had to unlearn some things. And it's the unlearning that sets us free to apply the things that God is wanting us to know in our life now through the power of Christ. And so Acts 3:10 has this crescendo verse that, and the people in the temple were amazed. They were filled with wonder because they saw of how the man was transformed. It's the transformation is the greatest witness of the power of the gospel, the empowerment of the Spirit to be filled with the wonder of God at work in our life. Oh man, I don't have any silver and gold to give you, but I do have the wealth of the Creator who made the heavens and the universe, that in the name of Jesus Christ you may rise and walk. And so he did. He did what he had never done before. Legs to run in life. Jesus is this equal opportunity Savior. The only Savior in our world. The only one who is sent from a mission beyond the moon, beyond the sun, sent from the very heart of God into the world mission to transform us into a new people. And what a hope it is. What a joy. Are you filled with the wonder? One day, it happened to this man. One day, Peter and John saw it as a someday that he could become a somebody because they saw what they could do to make it happen. So may we.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.